The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Jerry Bow with his first fumble of the show. Did not do the third hour intro song.
Yeah, I told him not to mess with the rewind just because it put something else on his plate. And
well, it's not just that. It's also the third hour, hour intro song. So that's 0 for 2. Shane Bell. All right, but that's okay because we're going to jump right in because we have, I think, the college football betting genius of the universe, pregame.com, lead college football analyst, and an all-around genius, Brad Powers joins us. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Brad, how's it going, man? How's your betting been going the last few days here on these bowl games?
You know, not too shabby. You know, so sometimes you're hit and miss. I mean, been nice if they finished up that game down in Dallas, Texas yesterday, but today started off well. I had Duke, so I didn't have to sweat that one at all. We'll see what happens here in the pinstripe, but more profitable than not, and that's all you can ask for this time of year.
Yeah, I'm trying to rally from what's been one of my worst years ever to break even here at the very end with a real nice run, and one of the games that we'll start with tonight, Baylor-Vanderbilt, which is here in town. I think this game means a lot to Baylor, considering the season, that the things that have happened here in the past, the fact that they got bowl eligible, almost a home advantage here in Houston. What do you think of this game? I actually took Baylor money line here.
Well, first let me touch on the money line. I think that's a smart decision on your part. I think generally speaking, if you're going to bet dogs and maximize your chances of a profit, and during the bowl games, because there's so much variance, meaning what's the final compared to what the line is, I mean, betting underdogs on the money line is not too shabby. In fact, of the six dogs that I've covered so far this year, five of them have won outright. So in bowl season. I lean Baylor in this game. I think you already hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think it'll be a significant crowd advantage on their behalf. I do think Vanderbilt does deserve to be favored. They're just, you know, superior, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, I think, you know, when I look at it, coaching advantage Baylor, crowd advantage Baylor, I'll lean with the Bears tonight.
Game, I think we've talked about it a couple times here during bowl season, that Purdue getting points against Auburn. I really like Purdue in this game. Want to get your thoughts on that. I think that 3.5 is the number I'm seeing now, Auburn favored.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll take the dogs and the Boilers. I just think, generally speaking, that they're more excited to be playing a bowl game, any bowl game for Purdue, a team that was, you know, the bottom barrel Big Ten team for several years until Jeff Brohm, their head coach, took over. And speaking of Jeff Brohm, I mean, the fact that he decided to stay at Purdue has to have those players excited that he decided to not take the job at his alma mater at Louisville. If I'm a Purdue player, I'm relatively excited. On the flip side, Auburn, I got to think their preseason goals, going to the Music City Bowl and playing Purdue, wasn't high on their priority list at the start of the season. So a little bit disappointed on their behalf. I lean Boilers here.
Yeah, and not only that, just the opposite coaching-wise is, like, as soon, at the end of the season, all these Malzahn rumors come out that maybe Bob Stoops is going to be the new coach. That can't be great for morale either.
No, it can't. And I, look, he's got several million reasons why he'll probably be the coach next year. His buyout's quite large. Kudos to his agent for getting him a contract extension after a couple big wins last year. But since he signed that contract, he's only 7-7 straight up. And speaking of poor records, I mean, Malzahn's only 1-4 in bowl games. Brahms 3-0, so no doubt about it. Brahms is a superior head coach.
The Syracuse West Virginia line's moved an awful lot. Is that basically just Will Grier?
A majority of it's Will Grier, but also, I mean, you look at West Virginia's top wide receiver is going to be out as well. And I just think, you know, people have been starting to notice. I mean, if there's a disparity as far as motivation, I'm not sure you can put a point total to it. It can be worth a touchdown or so, and I do think Syracuse has that advantage here. I mean, looking at it, this Syracuse team hasn't been to a bowl game in the last 5 years. They haven't won 10 games since 2001. West Virginia's got their best players sitting out, like three or four of them. You look at the tickets sold. I mean, Syracuse has a problem selling out the Carrier Dome. They didn't have a problem selling out their allotment of tickets to this bowl game. So I think Syracuse is motivated to be there. West Virginia isn't. Give me the orange.
The interesting game, I think, in the Alamo Bowl, Iowa State has faced a lot of offenses like Washington State's this year because they faced Oklahoma State. They faced West Virginia. And they've been, I mean, I can't say enough about the job that Campbell's done there. And I think he's one of those coaches that's cognizant of the spread, too. How do you look at this one?
Yeah, I think, again, I couldn't agree more with you guys. Mike Leach, this time of year, is not great. 1-7 against the numbers, last 8 bowl games. Why? He's kind of got that quirky little bit of offense. It's not as quirky compared to the rest of college football as what it was 10 years ago, but still, you got extra time to prep for them. And Iowa State's already familiar with the spread them out, high tempo offense. I already faced Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Texas Tech. How did Iowa State do against those teams? Covered all 4 of them, won 3 of those games outright. Iowa State trying to win 9 games for the first time since 2000. I'll take the Cyclones here, even on the money line.
A game that, on you look at the names of the teams, you say, oh, this should be a good game. But both teams a little disappointing this year in Florida and Michigan. You got all the Harbaugh. Is he going to go to the NFL, even though he says he's coming back? That game, Michigan 6-point favorites. You got any opinion on that one at all? I can't find a side on this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm going to lean Florida. I mean, when you got a Michigan team playing without their leading rusher and Caron Higdon, their leading tackler, or at least their captain on the defense side of the ball, Devin Bush, an important guy up front, Rashawn Gary, one of their best offensive linemen is going to sit the game out. I'll lean the Gators. I think it's important for Florida to win 10 games, just 1 year removed from a year where they went 4-7. Motivation edge for Florida. I mean, Michigan's one game away from probably playing in the college football playoff. And they have a meltdown in Columbus. I'll take the Gators here plus the number. Although, I mean, the number sat out at 7.5 for a long time. As far as, you know, for a couple weeks, you could have gotten 7.5, and now through a key number of 7, not as much value on the Gators.
Well, let's get to the big ones in the semifinals. And I'll be honest, I keep trying to talk myself into Oklahoma here. I keep seeing Tua's 80% and 80 or 85%, and I look at the kind of quarterbacks that have given Alabama fits in the past, and I think Alabama's going to win, but I really want to find an excuse to bet Oklahoma here, getting 14.5 some places, and boy, I could just see a backdoor with this team the way they play. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I could see that. I'm leaning towards the Alabama side, just because you mentioned Tua being less than 100%. I think a key player for Oklahoma is going to be less than 100%. That's Hollywood Brown, their wide receiver, their deep threat, one of the fastest players in college football. If they can't take the top off of Alabama's defense, I think Crimson Tide can put an extra guy in the box to kind of spy Kyler Murray. I know that the narrative's out there that Alabama routinely struggles with dual-threat quarterbacks. I think they're better prepared than what they were, say, 5 years ago. Why? Because they see a dual-threat quarterback in practice all the time in Tua Tagovailoa. It's not A.J. McCarron. It's not Greg McElroy back there. So I think Alabama's a little bit prepped for that. And obviously, you talk about why Alabama's a 2-touchdown favorite. I mean, it comes on the defense side of the ball. I think Alabama's perfectly capable of getting a couple of stops on the defense. I can't trust Oklahoma to stop Alabama. I'll lean with the Tide here.
What do you think of that total? It's down to 76.5 now.
Which is kind of surprising because, I mean, normally if the total's coming down, you'd like to take that. Less scoring means, you know, more opportunity for the dog to cover. But to me, that's saying that if we're going to talk lower scoring, that's the type of game Alabama would prefer to play in instead of a typical Big 12 type of shootout. So to me, that's indicating, and we haven't seen the money coming on Alabama, but if it's going to be lower scoring, I would like the chances of Alabama to cover, believe it or not, in that case.
Yeah, usually we talk about that. If there's a big spread, you tend to favor the over in games like that. So you're kind of going opposite there, right?
I am. To me, if it's a shootout and more points, I think that signifies, you know, the chances that that's kind of carefree. It's a, you know, typical Big 12 game. There's opportunity for Oklahoma to get the back door. The fact that, and that's very contrarian. That's anti-public. That total coming down because the public's going to see the number one and number two scoring offenses in the country, both averaging right around 50 points per game, and want to bet the over. So no doubt about it, that's sharp money coming on the under. And again, if it's a lower scoring type of game, who's better equipped to playing one of those? That's Alabama, not Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's why I love having Brad on, because we can get into things that are not just, okay, here's why I'm doing this, but some deeper subjects sometimes because that's one that we talk about a lot, when you, the correlation between overs and spreads sometimes. So good stuff on that. All right, Clemson minus 12.5 now against Notre Dame. And, you know, Clemson's been so good all year, but I'm kind of suckering myself into thinking Notre Dame here. Just watching what they've been with Ian Book. Please talk me out of that.
Yeah, I'm not, believe it or not. I'm going to take Notre Dame as well. I think the narrative that Notre Dame doesn't belong, and a lot of people referring back to the 2012 national title game, I'm just not buying that. I mean, if you're going to harken back to what happened in past years, I mean, they competed with Clemson 3 years ago on the road, competed well with a Georgia team last year that ended up playing for the title and could have won it over Alabama, beat an SEC team in LSU in the bowl game. So I'm not buying this, all this talk about past history. And look, completely different teams even compared from Notre Dame this year to even last year. So I'm not buying that narrative. I'm also not buying the narrative. Look, Clemson's really good defensively, but the ACC stunk this year. I mean, it's been pretty bad. And you look at when they stepped out of conference against A&M and South Carolina, two SEC teams that aren't known as great offenses. In those two games, Clemson allowed 500 yards to A&M, 600 yards to South Carolina. So I think Notre Dame is going to be able to have some success via the pass. And, you know, without a defensive lineman like Dexter Lawrence, maybe they can't get as much pressure on the quarterback as what they'd like. So I'll take the Fighting Irish. They look pretty loose in media day today for a team that's a two-touchdown underdog nearly. I lean Notre Dame in this one.
Couple more I want to ask you about getting into next week before, and then obviously we can talk about the championship when you come on next week. But A&M minus 4.5 against NC State was what it opened at. It's up to 7 now, and I find this game intriguing because I do feel like, yeah, Jimbo Fisher has something to prove here. But 7 now is getting to be a little bit much for me. What do you think of that game?
Yeah, I still lean A&M. I think part of the line move in this particular case, I mean, NC State's top wide receiver, Kelvin Harmon, he had nearly 1,200 yards. He's going to sit it out. Jermaine Pratt, the leading tackler for NC State, he's going to sit the game out. So when your two of your best players are sitting out, to me that signifies maybe this game doesn't mean that much. If I'm buying stock in college football programs and I'm looking to get a lot of bang for my buck, I think at the top of the list would be Nebraska, and I think number two for me right now would be A&M. I really like A&M's an 8-4 team, but they're better than their record indicates. Keep in mind, two of their losses are to Alabama and Clemson. Texas A&M covered both of those games. They're pretty solid across the board. Decent quarterback in mind. Williams is excellent at running back. Defensively, A&M's really strong against the run. I think a little sneaky factor here is, you know, obviously these two teams don't play each other much, but Jimbo Fisher and the defensive coordinator, Mike Elko for A&M, prepped for NC State last year while they were at Florida State and Notre Dame at their former jobs. I think they know a little bit better the personnel for NC State than most opponents would in the bowl games. For that, I'll lean with A&M here minus the points.
We talk about motivation in these bowl games a lot, and I have two of these games for you on both sides of this. UCF has, I feel like they have something to prove and prove doubters wrong by going up against a Power 5 team. And Georgia and Texas, where Tom Herman seems like a rah-rah guy, seems like if when they're underdogs, Texas does pretty well. And Georgia is coming off the SEC championship where they're a win away, but a couple of possessions away from actually going and making it into the playoff. And UCF's a seven and a half point favorite, and Georgia is a 13-point favorite. Like, do you think you should take Texas and UCF in this situation here?
You know, I prefer the Texas side more than anything. UCF has a look. I get it. If you're doing handicapping 101, you would think UCF's more excited to be there. I think UCF's 25 game winning streak catches the attention of LSU a little bit more than most. I think LSU's a little bit more, prepped to take on UCF than what Auburn, the SEC team that played UCF last year in last year's bowl game, was. And I'm worried about that UCF run defense, allowing nearly 300 rushing yards per game in their last five games against LSU's power run game. I actually lean LSU in that one. On the other side, the stronger the two games for me would be Texas. I'll take the Longhorns plus the 13. You mentioned Herman as a dog. As a head coach, he's 12-2 against the spread. One of those losses, though, came in their last game, the Big 12 championship game. But you're right. What's Georgia's motivation? I mean, they were 5 to 10 minutes away from playing in the college football playoff, blew another game against Alabama. I think Texas has overachieved this year. I get it, they lost a couple of close games, but to be playing in the Sugar Bowl, if you'd have told any Texas fan prior to the season, hey, you're going to end up in the Sugar Bowl, I think any one of them would be excited there. So I'll take the Longhorns plus the point.
Yeah, I love that one. I also am waiting for LSU to get down to 7 because I really feel like for LSU, this is kind of they weren't expected to be here, and they're going to look at Central Florida, and they're not going to ignore them the way Auburn did last year. I like LSU a lot in that game. If I can get a half point off of that, I'll feel a lot better about it.
And keep in mind, LSU is 9-3, but I mean, one of those losses was in 7 overtimes in A&M. I mean, a game that they probably should have won. And also in the final minute against Florida, they lost on the road. So, I mean, it's been a pretty good year for LSU, and I think they're even better than their 9-3 record indicates.
Last one to ask you about, Washington getting 6.5 now from Ohio State. Is there anything with the Ohio State coaching change that impacts your opinion of this game?
Yeah, I mean, this might be my Joe Public play of the bowl season, but I'll lay it with the Buckeyes. Number one, I think the Pac-12 stinks. I mean, just flat out stinks. And where do I see it? I mean, we've seen in bowl action the last 3 years, the Pac-12 is 2-15 against the spread. 2-15. And I've seen Washington in these bigger games the last couple of years, Auburn, Penn State, Alabama. They're at a talent disadvantage. Love Chris Peterson, the head coach. They're fundamentally sound. But it comes down to instead of the X's and the O's, it comes down to the Jimmies and the Joes. And Ohio State's got a heck of a lot more of Jimmies and Joes than Washington does. I mean, Washington, very conservative offensively. I don't think they can take advantage of Ohio State's weakness on defense. Washington's very tough as far as, trying to develop big plays. I don't think they can take advantage of Ohio State in that regard. And Urban, in his final game, I got to think Ohio State's relatively motivated. And the Buckeyes have been really good when they're competitively priced. And what do I mean by that? Anytime the Buckeyes are laying less than a full touchdown, 7, or they're in the underdog role since 2005, they're 34-17 against the spread. I'll take the Buckeyes here minus the point.
All right, that's Brad Powers. He is one of the best on the planet as far as I'm concerned when it comes to college football and college basketball, which we'll start talking a little bit more about next week. Brad, great stuff as always, my friend. And you can get his picks on pregame.com. Go check him out. We'll talk to you again next week, man.
All right, sounds good. Happy New Year to you guys.
Same to you. Brad Powers, love that guy. Usually it's fun. Like tomorrow it's going to be the same thing. Like I'll get to dominate with RJ for a change.
Yeah.
Because like last week, AJ just kept jumping in. I had questions I wanted to pose. And, they get into it a lot, so it's fun. Brad, once we get into college basketball, he'll do a lot more with AJ, I think. All right, we need to take a quick break and so we could start some music here. Peyton Girl Texas says, riches are assassinated and poors are murdered. Don't you have to hire an assassin? Yeah.
Somebody says, yeah.
Okay.
I think...
So my wife hires someone to kill me, then I've been assassinated. If she shoots me herself, it's just murder, right?
I saw... I mean, this is just from some person, but it said on Google, it said that assassinations are more of the political variety, and whereas murders are kind of your norm.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We come back. Our buddy Koo's going to join us. Get a little comedy in here. We've been very sportsy today, John. We're gonna mix it up a little bit. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 at SportsMap 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. Jong Lee filling in. Jerry Bo behind the glass. And I think we may have the most diverse show in the world right now because we got an Asian guy, an African guy, a half Arab, and a soccer fan. So there you go. Whoops. You got to turn his mic on. I can't hear him.
It is on.
It is on?
Yeah.
You're using this mic, right? Try that.
Yeah. It might not be up. Is it up?
Turn
it's,
up.
It's two.
Okay.
Ooh.
There we go. Our buddy Koo joins us. And
what's going on, guys?
It's been a while, man. How you been?
I'm back, man. I'm back like I never left. You said like you said an Asian, African, and Arab guy working today. This is great. This is perfect. It's like United Nation. I love it. This is great. It's like everybody's just affirmative action exists in ESPN Houston. Love it.
It's only because it's the holidays. Otherwise, it's all white people.
Oh, no. It's great.
That's true.
I love this, though. This is good. Like, what I want to go, this is what I'm talking. This is what Obama's talking about. So, yeah. We can.
We still quote him?
Yeah.
I thought since
is he still black? Yeah, I'm going to quote him. What are you talking about? We still quote him. I got Obama's picture in my bedroom. I love that guy.
I noticed you've been tweeting more lately. You can follow Koo on Twitter at Koo is crazy 81. And we need to get his Twitter followers up.
Please. I need some followers. I'm mainly on Facebook, Instagram. That's my thing. But yeah, I need my Twitter stuff up, man. I really do.
Because I mean, I think Twitter's a really good venue for you.
Yeah, but Twitter gets people in trouble, apparently. Like, you get more mob hate on Twitter than on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it's always worse on Facebook for me.
Really?
It's different.
Like, I heard Barry talking about this earlier. He made a joke on Facebook and was just getting destroyed. And it's like, if I make a joke on Facebook...
What joke did he talk about on Facebook? What was the joke?
I think it was somebody got on Christmas Day and was asking, like, they bought headphones so their kids could play games. And one kid... The headphones work, and he could talk, and it was fine. The other kid, the headphones worked, but he couldn't talk. And Barry just said, well, get rid of the other kid. Which I thought was
That's
pretty
hilarious.
Funny.
That's hilarious. That is funny. Get rid of the kid. It's funny. It's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, we live in this... Man, people are so sensitive nowadays, man. It's crazy, man. Society is just a sensitive people. I don't understand. I just posted something about Blackbird. Not Blackbird. I call it Blackbird for some reason. Bird Box. Have you guys seen it?
I haven't. No. I was watching.
Everybody keeps talking about this movie, Bird Box. You gotta watch. I'm not watching a movie called Bird Box, and it's supposed to be a horror movie. Doesn't sound scary to me. You gotta have movies that's gonna titles that scare me, like make me want to watch it. Like if the movie was called IRS Box, maybe I might want to watch it, or something that says Immigration Box, or something that says Child Support Box. I'm like, you know what? I can relate to those kind of stuff. I don't want to watch. I want to watch that kind of stuff. But Bird Box, I don't think about that.
Oh, Sandra Bullock in this movie?
Yeah.
I watched the preview. Is it Amazon or
Netflix?
It's a Netflix movie.
And I'm like, this just doesn't interest me. Like STD Box would scare me.
That's what I'm saying. Something like that would scare me. Like, yeah, Child Support Box. I'm like, yeah, I'm not watching this. Or IRS Box. I'm not watching that.
It's called. Some people
That's
are calling.
Scary to me.
Some people are calling it the most terrifying movie ever.
Okay. Whoever says idiot, that's who they are. Because a bird box should never sound. That doesn't sound scary because basically the whole movie they're wearing blindfold the whole time. And if they lift it up, they get to see scary monsters or whatever. That's basically the whole premise of the movie. That you're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, right? Because I posted that joke on Facebook and somebody goes, well, the whole premise of the movie is the bus kill. People don't want to bus kill your jokes. Go, oh, the whole premise of the movie is you're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. And I go, okay, question mark. And then she responds and she goes, oh, I'm sorry, I commented on the wrong post. I'm like, what? So I respond and I go, oh, next time you need to use your sight instead of your fate next time before you post that crap. Because people are killing me. Everybody wants to be opinionated about everything. They want to tell you how they feel about everything. It's like, Jesus, just enjoy stuff. It's a joke. Laugh and move on. If you don't laugh, just basically, if you don't laugh, just don't laugh. You don't have to tell me how horrible the joke is.
How
I'm too sensitive, man. I don't get it.
Are you finding that like when you'll do a show that you'll get people complaining about jokes more than maybe when you started? Just because it does seem like people are getting so PC.
People are getting really PC.
Oh, like, my God. There's things we say on air, and then they're like, I can't believe you said that. Dude, it was a bleeping joke.
It's crazy because I did a show. I swear to God, I'm not making this. I did a show a couple of months ago, and I'm doing well. And with comedians, when we're doing jokes, we can always tell the ones that's not laughing. We always see the ones that's not laughing. And I'm hearing people laugh, but I'm seeing this one lady, and she's not having a good time. She's just looking like, why is everybody having a good time? This is ridiculous. Why is everybody laughing at these jokes? So right after the show, like literally right after the show, and she wanted to come talk to me, so she had a boyfriend with her and her black friend. They walking up to me, and I was like, oh, God, this is not going to be good. So she says the first thing that came to mind was, can I tell you something? The universal customer complaint statement, can I tell you something? When somebody tell you I got to tell you something, that's not a good sign.
Well, first off, you already did.
Right. Can I tell you something? It's like, just tell me what you need to tell me. Don't tell me, can I tell you something? So she goes, can I tell you something? What's up? She goes, somebody's doing your jokes about Home Alone and about your child. And I was like, what? So in comedy, a joke thief is like the ultimate like thing. Like that's a no-no. That's the ultimate sin. Somebody steals your joke. So I'm furious. Like I'm getting mad. Like somebody's stealing my joke. And she's like this, yes. And she could tell she's gradually happy because she felt like she did something good. I like to call them the white knights. So she felt like, oh, yeah, I'm making this guy really feel angry because I told him something really good that he needs to know. So she's high-fiving her boyfriend like, see, we did something good today. And I'm getting furious, right? So I asked her a question. I said, ma'am, where did you hear this joke or this joke thief? And she goes, I was at Rudyard's a week ago, and some black comic was doing your jokes. And I was like, black comic? And that's when I started thinking in my head, go, black comic. There was a black guy there. That was me. And there was another black guy, and that was also me. And I said, holy crap, she thinks I'm somebody else. So I said, ma'am, I said, that comic is me. And she goes, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, I'm not kidding you, lady. And you could gradually see her boyfriend just turning purple in the face, like, I'm about to leave her alone. This is an international incident, and I want no parts of it. Then I look at her black friend just to look at her black friend to get some kind of reinsurance. And her black friend, swear to God, looked at me going, white people. That's what I'm saying. People are getting so caught up in trying to bust people on Facebook or on social media or just in life, man. Just enjoy life, man. Just lighten up. It's joke. Stand up. Have fun. Life is too short to just be worried about what somebody say all the time. So long as you're not being like racist or being malicious with it. It's freedom of speech, man.
You can be funny racist.
Yeah. But I'm saying people just get really offended. I don't even know what racism is no more. It's morphed into something else. I don't even know what it is now.
Well, what did you think of Kevin Hart having to apologize for his joke and also stepping down from hosting with the Oscars?
Yeah, to me, I felt like it was bullying. Like, I feel like and I love gay people, but I feel like the gay people they're starting to become the bullies. Like, you can't just go and look at this man's stuff in 2009 and call him out and say, hey, he has to apologize for a tweet. And he was a different person in 2009. And the joke wasn't even that bad. Like, when I read the tweet, I'm like, it's not even that bad. And Oscar said he has to apologize for him. I'm like, if he has to apologize for that tweet, that means you guys really didn't want him on there. This is my personal opinion. And Kevin Hart he's almost a billionaire. You don't need the Oscars. He was trying to do y'all a favor.
No, like, the Oscars needs Kevin Hart.
That's what I'm saying. Good luck trying to get another host like that. He was like, that was his dream job to host the Oscars. And you guys messed it up by some stupid tweet. It's the dumbest thing, man. If I was Kevin, I would never apologize for that. That's 2009. Mm-hmm. People going to people's tweets and going, hey, they had this 17-year-old kid, a football player, right? Or they had
to go the Heisman winner.
Yeah, they had to go to his tweet and just say, hey, he said the N-word and stuff. I'm like, what is happening? Let him go. He's a white kid. You know how many white kids buy rap songs? Yes, they said the N-word. It's a Dane.
But it is.
Oh, my God.
It is interesting to me that people get so offended by things now that, and not just from Twitter, but, you know, especially as a comedian, if you're not pushing up against that line or past that line, you're not funny.
That's what I'm saying. We have to straddle the fence. That's the whole reason why we tell jokes. People forget that the court jester was a comedian. He was the guy that could probably tell the king that he was a loser, and everybody laugh and be like, oh, you're a loser. Oh! Department of Justice said that. But that was a dangerous job, and he did that. That was his job because that's our job. Our job is to make light of something really horrific and make it funny, and that's what our job is. If you take away that, that's not comedy because comedy basically is a formula. It's basically tragedy plus time equals comedy. That's what stand-up is. So if you take away that, then what do we have? I'm never going to apologize because I don't want to be famous like Kevin Hart. That Kevin Hart is like ridiculously famous. I don't want that fame. That comes with the devil. I don't want that. I just need enough to get by. That's all I need.
You just want to be Chris Rock famous?
Not even Chris Rock. Just give me a
Rob Schneider.
Give me like a Michael Shea famous. Okay. I'll be okay. Michael Shea famous. Like, give me that Michael Shea.
I'm gonna get you on Saturday Night Live then.
Yeah. You know, Michael Shea, I love Michael Shea, but Michael Shea looks like the Walmart brand of Dave Chappelle. Like, that's what, no knock on Michael Shea, but when you see Michael Shea, you go like this, I miss Dave Chappelle.
I think he does okay. He's funny, but
you could tell, like, his mannerism is trying to be like Dave Chappelle. I'm like, oh, we already got Dave. We good.
So, when's your next show?
Next show, Houston Improv, January 23rd. Go get your tickets. It's only $20, guys. Go to www.improvhouston.com and get your tickets to the Coup, Agenti, and Friends. A lot of your listeners come to the show, man. They love have a good time. So I need y'all to pack the sucker out, man. January 23rd, Houston Improv.
And who's some of the friends that you got booked?
All local guys. You know what I'm saying? I think I have Kevin Hart coming. You have to answer my phone. You ain't. I think he's probably good. No, I got all local guys. I got my man Mike Rayo. I have Janae. I have James Campbell on the show. Have Larry Goodwell. I have who am I forgetting? Blah 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 blah. Me, of course. Yeah, come see me, of course. But if I forgot you, please don't hold over my head. And I also got a podcast, man. I need to plug. Can I plug my podcast?
Absolutely.
Hey, I got a podcast called Wise Guys Speak Podcast. It's available on iTunes, iHeart, and Spotify. And we have our own website. So it's Wise Guys Speak Podcast. And I have a show at Pasadena because I'm all over the place, too. So I got a show January 3rd at Pasadena at this bar called Shooter's Saloon. Shooter's Saloon in Pasadena. All my Pasadena folks, I'm going to be there January 3rd with Juan Verial. Come holler at me, man. Yeah, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be crazy.
And you're still doing karaoke around town, right?
Dude, Secret Group, man. Secret Group is the premier comedy and music venue, so I do karaoke there every Wednesday. So come see me. If you got any beef with my jokes today, come holler at me and give me a couple your complaints, and I just put it in the trash.
Has that ever happened to you?
What, people complain jokes? All the time, man. Yeah.
Like after the show, they'll come up to you and it's like, oh, that wasn't funny?
I've been doing it for 10 years, so I probably got maybe twice in my lifetime. And somebody walked in and said, hey, I didn't like your joke, but that's fine. I get that. I had this one lady tell me, she told me that I need to turn down my black jokes down. I'm like, what? I'm black. What are you talking about? She's like, so you're really funny, but you need to turn your blackness down. I was like, what? What does that even mean?
Did it come from a black person?
Yeah, I'm black.
Okay. No. I'm saying the person that asked
you. No, it's a
white
lady, of course. Okay. It's white lady. No black person. I mean, black people look at me and go, you need to be more black. That's what black people tell me. Like, you need to black that up more. You need to be more Chris Rock and more Eddie Murphy. But I'm more, I don't know. I don't know what kind of style I am. I pronounce my words too much. That's my problem. I'm not ghetto enough. I don't consider myself a black comic. I'm more like, if you like Bob Seger and you like Nirvana and you like Tupac, then I'm your comedian. Because I have a weird selection of music that I like. So I don't like specific kind of music. I like all kinds of stuff. So I'm pretty. You know that, Fred.
Oh yeah.
Come on, man. I'll be busting out that turn the page.
Yeah.
Lonesome highway, east of Omaha. You can listen to the engine. Can I sing that? Or you guys gotta pay for that.
No. You're good.
Okay. You're fine.
Your producer's like, he's black. Let him go.
we don't want to make him mad.
Right. Let's just make it American Idol. Don't worry about it. Probably your black listeners like, is that guy really black? He knows Bob Seger? Yeah, I love Bob Seger. It's like, that's literally like one of my favorite karaoke songs now. Turn the Page. Love that song.
He does. You do some different songs for karaoke. And I suck because I haven't been there in a while because you start at 10 o'clock and I'm old.
That's funny.
And I have to be up at 5:30 every morning. So
let me tell you a story. So I'm wearing a Wu-Tang Clan shirt. You like Wu-Tang?
Yeah.
I love, of course he's with. But I had a Wu-Tang shirt on for karaoke, and this white girl's like, oh my God, you gonna do a Wu-Tang Clan song? I go, you'll see. And I get on stage and I sang the whitest song ever that I could think. I sang like Lone Star Amazed. You know the song I'm talking about? Baby, I'm amazed by you. Nope. So I'm doing that song. You've heard that song. It's a popular song, Lone Star.
I've only heard you do Space Oddity.
Right, I love Space Oddity. David Bowie, R.I.P. So I'm doing that song, and I get off stage. Everybody was like, this, oh, my God. I didn't know you know that. So I'm like, yeah, because I had a Wu-Tang Clan shirt. You just put me in the box. Sure. I love tripping people out because they expect me to do a black song, and I always do not do that. Just to mess with them. It's great. It's different.
I think I'm going to go and wear a Garth Brooks shirt next time and then do Jay-Z. What do you think?
If you do that, please let me know. I want to see that. You do some California Love. I'll be like, yeah, you're going to be like Tupac. I'll be Dr. Dre and stuff. That would be awesome. That would be with your Garth Brooks t-shirt. Like, that would be dope, man. Yeah, man, because I love surprises, man. I don't like predictability. I hate that, man. I hate when people just automatically put you in a box. I hate that. Get me out the box.
Well, I'm going to try to make it next week. I promise.
Yeah, come through, man. There, right? Wednesday, Secret karaoke, group, 9:30, man.
It's good Secret stuff, group. And we have a lot of fun. We drink a lot. Yeah, there's no question. And tell them one more time about the show on the 23rd.
All right. January 23rd, Houston Improv, Cooey, Genty, and Friends. Tickets are only $20, man. $20, man. Go to the website, www.improvhouston.com, and get your tickets. The show will definitely sell out, so I need you in the building, Houston. Come celebrate the 2019 with your boy, man. Local kid. Doing some shows out here, trying to show local talent and support this scene, man. Because you guys pay $20 for bullcrap. This is like local talent that we have. We have so many awesome comedians right here in Houston. So come support your boy January 23rd, guys. Stop playing. Houston Improv.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of those guys at the Secret Group with you. They're very funny. So
oh, my God,
show.
Man. Houston's like so competitive, man. I had to get better. I literally had to get better because I lived in Memphis for a while. And I started comedy actually in Memphis. And yeah, you don't want to do comedy in Memphis. It was pretty dead when I started. And when I moved here, I got to see, like, I went to open mic on a Monday night and had, like, literally, I kid you not, like 40 comedians try to go up.
Oh, wow.
And I go, okay, I got to be better really fast because I have to stand out. And that's when I started doing African jokes and I stood out really fast because nobody was doing African jokes. I was doing Lion King jokes and stuff. And next thing I know, I'm not making this up. A couple of months later, everybody started doing Lion King jokes or something related to Africa. I go, okay, I think I got some now.
Yeah, but cool. you had the accent down better than anybody, though.
Because I am African, Fred. Duh.
He's trying to set you up to go out with the accent there.
I like how Fred just said, you had the accent down really good, like the sustain. No, I'm actually African.
No, it's just very funny when you do it. I was trying to set you up.
So that you would actually do it.
Yes, to do the African voice.
Dude, I'm so excited. Do you guys excited about Lion King?
Dude, Lion King was my favorite Disney movie.
Are you guys excited about the movie coming out next year? Oh my, I lost my, look, Lion King to me is going to be like Obama Part 3. It's going to be so big. Like, I literally started crying. I'm crying, watch the scene where they lift up Simba and they play that song. Jalapeno, releasable. I just started crying going, Lion King, Simba. I became that guy from Amistad. Give us freedom.
Wait, Black Panther was in Obama 3.0?
Oh, yeah, but this is going to be huge. You thought Black Panther was crazy with the dashiki. Wait till you see people with anime outfits, like lion outfits in movie theater. You'd be like, what is happening? Is this a sing-along or what? This is going to be crazy.
That was Team Mufasa.
Huh?
That was Team Mufasa.
You Team Mufasa? Everybody's Team Mufasa.
I would have pegged you for Team Scar since you look evil.
No, that's one where I actually rooted for the good guys.
Okay.
That's one of the few movies you rooted for. Like, I rooted for the good guy in this movie because I kind of like Mufasa. I'm glad that James L. Jones is going to do the voice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
Are you serious right now?
That guy's got he's still one of my favorite.
Dude, he's the best, man. Like, James L. Jones is the best. I'll try to worry about who's going to be Mufasa. Like, who's? Because nobody can be Mufasa but him. I just don't see nobody being that guy, that voice.
I did flip to Scar, though, when Mufasa was dead because I didn't like Simba.
Huh?
Yeah. Hey, I'm allowed to switch allegiances.
You went from, the beloved dad dies, and you go, I'm going to go for the guy that killed his dad. What is wrong with you? This ain't WWE.
No, it's Game of Thrones.
Right, exactly.
Scar was a Lannister.
He's like, yeah, I'm turning heel now. I'm going heel. Like, that's so crazy. But I will say that. I will say this, that if you're a fan of Lion King, and this is my theory, Lion King is basically a kung fu movie. It is. The whole premise of the movie is a kung fu movie. Because think about it. At the final fight scene with Simba and Scar, they flying and they fighting. I'm from Africa. Ain't no lion flying, guys. That's bull crap. That's called false advertising. That's, to me, that's Crunchy Tiger Hidden Dragon crap right there, guys. That's kung fu stuff, if I ever saw one. Because there's a whole premise. The whole premise of the movie is a kung fu premise. Like, okay, prime example, you watch any kung fu movie, the good guy, his dad dies, and he goes to avenge his dad's death. He goes away, right? And some creepy old guy teaches him kung fu, and he come back and avenge his dad's death. Same thing with Lion King. Mufasa dies, Simba leaves, creepy monkey teaches him kung fu, and he come back and avenge his dad's death. Same formula.
Hmm. And then says,
"Same. Hold up. You remember Karate Kid? Wax on, wax off? That's Kuna Matata, guys.
That means no worries.
That's literally Kuna Matata. That's the same formula. Means no worries, wax on, wax off. Same formula, guys. You're welcome, guys. Somebody probably crashed their car just going, damn, that black guy's right.
You have dishonored my family and the temple.
Man, the monkey was Asian.
Oh, there you go.
See? See what I'm saying? Oh, kung fu. Boy. That's it. I'm telling you, man.
All right. We gotta
rip that stuff.
We got to go to break. We're way over here. But appreciate you coming in, man.
Hey, man.
And look
love,
forward
man.
To the show. And I promise, if not next week, the week after, I will get out there Wednesday night. I'll just have to get an old man nap first because that damn 10 p.m. stuff is too much for me anymore.
Yeah, man. We got that Tom Petty waiting for you, man.
All right, man. I got some new stuff to trot out.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Party time.
All right. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 Sports Map 94.1.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. John, you did a great job today.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate you filling in. Jerry didn't do too bad either. Only a couple little things. You know what? I'm going to do the grades now. Jerry, you get a B+.
I'll take the
that for a debut. That might be a record for a debut.
I didn't sleep last night thinking about this. Honestly, I was nervous.
Bull bleep! You were more worried about filling in for Palillo and trying to find out a way to work in nomenclature into the show. That's what you were worried about. Well, John, I hope you have fun in Vegas, man.
Oh, thanks.
I'll try to hold it down for you tomorrow. And when Jerry has to go solo, I'm guessing he's not going to match a B+ because he's not going to have the training wheels. But we'll see. Yeah, I've been watching that World Junior Hockey started yesterday. U.S. plays Kazakhstan tomorrow. They'll win.
Did they win yesterday?
They did win 2-1 over Slovakia. It was an ugly game. And then I had to sit there and watch Canada play Denmark because the wife would not change the channel. Canada won 14-0. It was.
Oh, she wouldn't change the channel?
No, nope. Because this is like such a big deal to Canadians, and they hate any time the U.S. does anything. Like all the people in Vancouver were booing the U.S., and so I told her, I'm like, I'm going to have to root against you guys. You're going to hate on us like that. It's not cool. It's like a big deal to them. It's freaking, I mean, and I've kind of gotten into it now. So now I'm really competitive about it. And I'm like, God, I hope we kick your ass.
Is this the equivalent of like cheering on, I don't know, Elsick High School basketball?
No, no, no. This is way past this.
Okay.
This is more like if you had the World Baseball Classic and it was all AAA players.
Oh, okay.
And guys who are about to be in the NHL or in MLB, then this is what it would be. But there, you know, there's a lot of pride around it up there because it's hockey for them. So it's a big deal. But I didn't realize they hated us so much. So I'm not so sure how I feel about Canadians anymore. When it comes to hockey, I have to hate them. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Great job, Jerry. We'll have you back. Tomorrow will be Cody Stutes and Holly Seymour and Jerry Bowe filling in with me. I'll be here as well. And, John, hope you have a great time. Get drunk. Win money. Say monkey. Want to thank Koo for joining us. Brad Powers for joining us. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. 94.1.